And for EU Opportunity Knocks, it's Make Your Mind Up time. I do mean that, folks, most sincerely.
Hello, and welcome to the show. Colourful conversations with Clergyman Pete and Businessman Mark. This week, we debate Opportunity Knocks, Multiple Ways to Leave the EU. Well, it seems that members of Parliament have multiple opportunities to give the public the final say over whether the UK leaves the EU. And yet, in quite contrast, Theresa May has ruled out the possibility of a referendum and says that basically the Chequers deal the fact that the United Kingdom has decided to leave the EU. Brexit is Brexit. That's it. Unfortunately, where we stand right now is that although there are multiple ways to leave the EU, nobody seems to know exactly how to do it. Yes, we're getting to the point now where we're running out of time, folks. Well, what are those opportunities? Some may say that actually it's not wide enough. We need to give the public another vote. And some MPs say, no, we just simply need to change the leader. Well, yes, I think the best way to think about this is to just consider when opportunities open up, what really is the best thing to do? There are so many opportunities. And let's start with the thought in a little poem. It's called Knock Knock. When the window of opportunity opens wide, it frames the prospect of prosperity. As you eagerly peer inside, think of your dexterity. But climbing through windows is very unwise, and only a fool will think he can get ahead. Be smart and avoid a nasty surprise, and try using a door instead. Yes, it seems obvious.
You put it like that, yes.
But actually, some things are simpler by just taking the easy route. Now, I'm going to suggest that maybe it's time to just open the door and leave. Yes, Clergyman Pete, I'll bring you into the conversation. When an opportunity opens, don't try climbing through the window. Isn't it time now that we should just simply leave the door, bolt it behind, and go?
Well, businessman Mark, I think that you put your finger on it. One of the things about leaving, it's quite a simple concept, isn't it? Once you're in somewhere, you go out through the exit and you've left, which you were getting across very well in your poem. But this concept seems to have eluded both the EU and also the British negotiators under Theresa May. What they seem to be doing is negotiating what's going to be on the other side of the door, but never actually getting any nearer to the door. And the problem is, if we can extend the metaphor or continue the metaphor, we have the EU in the person of Juncker and his friends basically blockading the door. So, yes, we are going to let you out. Can you open the door yet? Oh, yes, any minute now, yes. And meanwhile, Theresa May is saying, oh, I'd like to leave, please. I need to do a wee. And all that, you know. You can imagine the situation.
I can imagine that.
Yes, you go. It probably happened. That may well have happened in the negotiations. Right. Imagine if you were inside the a fly on the wall view of the of the negotiations. You can imagine if Theresa May did need to go to the toilet, would she say, "Gotta go and have a slash"? And she went and just go, or would she, excuse me, and they keep talking, excuse me, and they just carry on talking. And then, there could be a nasty mess. That's what I'm saying. But, you know, I think it's that I'm using that as a metaphor, obviously.
Well, clearly. Trouble is, it's on our doorstep.
Negotiation itself. Pardon?
It's on our doorstep, not
yes.
on theirs.
Yes, exactly. It's on that. Yeah. And I think that what's happened is that the EU has certain very specific aims, rules, regulations. Certain things in mind that it knows, it's certain of. And the negotiators for Britain don't. They're flexible. And because of that, obviously, the one who is more certain is going to have a stronger hand. And the EU isn't really in a strong position, but because it's certain, it ends up being behaving stronger, in a stronger fashion. It needs a decisive action, a strong blow against it to make it wake up. It, I mean the EU hierarchy. And I'm going to say something specific about what needs to be done then. You see, the way that we're leaving the EU using Article 50, which of the Lisbon Treaty, which is a way of leaving the EU. It's not the only way. There is another way to do it. That's a way that that you can leave with whilst remaining within the EU.
And that has been done. That's already signed.
Yes, that's been signed. But you could easily bypass that. It doesn't mean you have to continue doing it if you're not any longer a member of the EU. And you can easily leave under British law by repealing the European Communities Act 1973. And that restores British law as being supreme over any other law, over EU law. And so you could transpose all the EU directives, etc. I mean, you could keep them. The ones that have been transposed into Acts of Parliament could stay there. So there would be no big change, apart from the fact that you've already left. And so you are in a position to dictate to the EU how the negotiation goes forward from then on. So I think that's, to me, that seems to be the only way forward.
Well, that's certainly one opportunity. The other opportunity, I think, is this, that we are pretty much around 6 months away before we actually technically leave.
Yeah,
so
sure.
When we know that on the 29th of March, that's the actual milestone, that's the red letter day, folks, put that in your calendar just as you're leaving the door behind you, probably unlocked, and in some cases some people don't even have a door, sadly. But the fact of the matter is that when we reach the 29th of May 2019, in theory, we will be in a situation where we are or are effectively out of the EU. The problem, of course, is we don't know what the terms are of negotiations and dealing with the EU. Mm-hmm. Now, this is where I think that the opportunities lie. So these are the options that many people have discussed. We could default to a World Trade Organization framework. We could go with a Canada deal. We could go with a similar sort of arrangement to Norway. Some people don't like that. We're sort of in but not quite out and those sort of things. And there are many other options that we can take. But I think that what's frustrating the public is the fact they still don't know where they're going. They don't know what the actual negotiation key points are and where Britain is gaining. So this is the key, which is, I think, is forcing the matter. Because at this moment in time, we don't know whether Theresa May can survive by holding on to her Chequers plan. She has a plan, and it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. Now, she is still adamant that she wants to continue to negotiate on that basis, which is why we've seen people like David Davis and Boris Johnson leave the cabinet, because they feel that basically it has no credibility. And okay, that's fair enough. But I think that irrespective of whether the politicians agree or disagree, what we're not seeing is any clear, defined action plan. So when it comes to the 29th of March 2019, the public know exactly what they're getting, because at the moment it's very murky. So What would you do if you were running the negotiations right now, if you were Prime Minister, for example, Prime Minister Clarendon Peat?
Yes,
I can see it happening. But let's say you were in power now, you were negotiating with the EU, you're there, you've got Donald Tusk staring in, steely-eyed in the face, his foot is wedged in your doorway. What would you do? What would you, apart from maybe stamping on his foot and pushing him to one side, but give me an idea of how you would go about it from here on.
Did you mention smacking him in the face? I didn't.
Well, that's an option. That's
I'll give you my view. Of course, you can, Mark, give a sort of business-centred a point of view later, but just speaking as a layman about the situation, the first thing I would do is reject anything that takes away from British sovereignty. Now, I say that for two reasons. One is I need to make that clear, because from the EU's point of view, that's a sticking point. They do not think that the general established culture of the EU, or the basis for the EU, is that the corporate EU, the community of the EU together, supersedes nation states. That's their, that's a fundamental belief of the EU, and it's built into every aspect of it. So we need to, that point would need to be get a, be got across. Now, that would mean that you couldn't keep to the Chequers plan, because the Chequers plan, I suppose its main differential from other plans, is the concept of joint jurisdiction, where you have a framework for establishing any UK-EU agreements, which is interpreted in the UK by UK courts and in the EU by EU courts. But UK courts would be, according to this Chequers plan, have to pay due regard to EU case law. So it's under EU case law that it's that the decisions will be made, even if they're in the UK. So you're actually remaining under EU law. That's first.
Yes.
So that's some sovereignty given away. Now, the second point to say is that when we, you know, when we started to join the Euro, started to join Europe, the European Communities Act 1972, joining mm-hmm. the EEC as it was then. Well, in doing that, that was unconstitutional according to the British Constitution, because we're effectively establishing another parliament, an addition to the Queen's Parliament.
That's right.
So it's unconstitutional. So that's why I'm saying what I said earlier, and I'll repeat now. This is what I would say in negotiating: is that, look, under international law, this isn't allowed anyway. It's illegal because it's against our parliamentary laws, against our own constitution. And so if it were taken to an international body to decide, you know, outside of the EU and Britain, almost certainly they decide in Britain's favour that we shouldn't actually be a member in the first place. So once you establish that and say, look, this cannot be the case, you cannot have any jurisdictions, any jurisdiction over British law, then you're in a position to negotiate. And I believe that that's something that they couldn't the EU couldn't negotiate with. And so therefore we'd have to repeal the Communities Act, as I said, and start from that position. In other words, you don't start from the position of, yes, we want to be friendly, we want to have some give and take. No, you start from saying, look, this is unacceptable. The current situation is unacceptable. We've got to get out of that before we can make any negotiation. And then you're in a position. So that's what I'd say. I'd say, look, we're starting from the wrong position. We've got to start from this position. And then when we're in that position, we'll be able to tell you what we want to do. You can tell me what you want to do. Obviously, you've got to negotiate for the EU. But I'll tell you what we want to do. And we are no longer a member of the EU. That was unconstitutional anyway. And so we've left. And in fact, Article 50 itself, although it has that long, the EU's Article 50 itself, even though it has that a long description of how you leave, it starts with saying that member states of the EU can leave according to their own laws and constitution. Well, we would have done that. So it's even under EU law, Article 50 of the Lisbon Treaty, it's still allowed. So that's what I would do. How would you see that from a business point of view? Would that be a disaster?
Exactly. Yeah, well, this is. I'll use my analogy of the door opening, the door closing.
Let's go back to that.
Small,
I enjoy
medium,
that
and large businesses. So, let's take this, because ironically, we're talking about politicians, and let's be honest, it's been a debacle since the vote or the referendum vote took place. Yep. Politicians have failed to actually come to any clear plan and negotiation, and actually come to what should be by now a really more of a case of just dotting the I's and crossing the T's. But we're no further ahead than we were, say, a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And that's the worrying thing. But this is where I think, from a business point of view, that things need to change. Businesses are getting desperately frustrated now. It's impacting the bottom line. In fact, some businesses have already started to make a clear point. Big car manufacturers have said that they're going to withdraw from the United Kingdom. Some, actually, ironically, have said, well, actually, we'll take a different view, which is that actually, if we did invest in the United Kingdom, it might mean that, you know, with the pound slumping, which almost certainly would happen, their exports would be far more competitive, and they could use you know, the resources in the United Kingdom far more effectively. But the point being is there's no clear picture. And in business, what you don't want is uncertainty. Yeah, and I think, in my opinion, what needs to happen now is business leaders, small, medium and large, need to put greater pressure on leaders. And I think in some ways that we have to sort of bypass the politician, because the politician is floundering. Yeah, I know you have to work under law, but don't forget there's also trade law. There's trading as in industry bodies. Yeah. And there are specific laws that you have to comply to, which in certain cases relate to the EU, and in some cases it's country law, particularly on things such as use of chemicals, whether it's in development of products, whether it's development of food, etc., about what you can and you cannot do. What they don't want is, if you close a door in business, you put friction, as they often say, if you put friction borders in there, then this is where it becomes a problem for businesses. And it actually stifles innovation, it stifles productivity, and it stifles the free trade. I think we need to open the door. And I think pressure needs to be put on the EU as well as the United Kingdom to say, look, what we need here, and this is how I would do it, I would have a clean break from here on now. I would actually walk away. I wouldn't even go any further.
Agreed, yes. Yeah.
So this is my standpoint. I think it was right that after the referendum result, which, as we know, was very close, and I know that some people wanted to stay and some people didn't, but the fact of the matter is, what should have happened is there should have been a negotiation period, but I would have only have left it for about, you know, a few months, not 2 years to go nowhere. Where we are now is we've got more confusion than we had, you know, in the past. Yeah. And so what I would be inclined to do is I would actually now believe that industry representatives should come to the table and actually thrash out an agreement to say, this is how we're now going to trade with you. Because what really matters? Well, ultimately, it's the economics, the business. Business, in many ways, and I don't just mean business on manufacturing, because business is on service as well. That's what drives economies. That's what gets everybody's wages going. That's what basically makes countries succeed or fail.
Yes.
If we close the door, which is what's happening now, because basically we've got a door that's sort of swinging half open, half closed, half open, half closed. It's like one of those strange situations where we've given the keys to the door to incompetence, and they can't really work out whether they should be climbing through the window, sitting in the attic, going in the basement, or they just haven't got a clue either how to get through a door. I would do the following.
Yes, go on.
I would leave now.
So you would do what I said, revoke the Communities Act. Yeah,
I would revoke the Communities Act immediately.
Yeah,
I would then go back to various stakeholders, which includes politicians as well as business leaders, and within this point between now and the end of 2018, negotiate a framework of operating to basically make a frictionless border between the United Kingdom and Europe, as well as other parts of the world, to be able to freely negotiate trade in whatever way that they want. Now, there's one point that we talked about off air, which I thought was a really important point, which is actually countries themselves have their own laws, which actually sets a standard, meaning that the United Kingdom has it stands, so on. But actually, they all uphold a pretty high standard in terms of manufacturing levels, service levels, and so on. And actually, you can just simply say to those different countries, we will work with you within your own laws. So if we're trading with you, Germany, we work with your standards, and vice versa. And I know there's going to be one or two areas that needs to be tidied up, because, you know, these things are important. But the biggest economies, let's be honest, is going to be Germany, UK, France, maybe Italy, possibly one or two other ones. But actually, we're not talking about a lot of people within the community.
I agree with that.
I'd start to get that negotiation going. The politicians are actually hindering the process; they're not helping the process.
I agree. We if we leave, then we can then start negotiating with people, including people in the EU, countries in the EU. I think the same point could be made over effectively a trade deal, well, a reciprocal arrangement, I suppose we'd call it, of trading, free trade, and agreeing when trading in their country to use their laws and vice versa, with the United States, Canada, Australia, you know, countries that have good economies and also have similar laws or high standard laws. The similarity is also important, I think.
But I tell you why this will work.
Yes.
Because what people will realize very quickly, like the likes of Germany, France, Italy, and so on, is that actually at this moment in time, the EU as a club is stifling their ability to trade. I know that Germany will say, hold on, my manufacturing costs are going to go up. Yeah, they might do initially. But in the long run, remember what we say on Market Pete, which is it's not just about short-termism, it's about long-termism. Long-term, I think people will realize in mainland Europe that the EU is a failed project. It doesn't work economically. And so we've got to go back to where we were, where each country can really control its destiny better.
Yes.
Look, people like Juncker and Tusk and so on, they're going to hold on to and cling on to this strange arrangement that we've seen evolve. It was a failed project from the start. It should never have happened. Economically, it was flawed. Oh, we've already seen that now.
Yeah.
And God knows how much money Germany has wasted trying to prop up Greece. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yes. I mean, Germany's been one of the big losers, of course. But, you know, there's an interesting feature of New Testament prophecy. The Bible speaks about the problems of big government, and they were talking particularly about Rome, which of course you're mentioning Italy, Rome being in Italy, is basically a European power. It's the same problem, you know, 2,000 years ago, and using quite pictorial, shall we say, language, symbolic pictures. The Bible speaks about this in Revelation, and it refers to this overarching big government as a beast, and Revelation 17:11. As for the beast that was and is not, it is an eighth. I've got the wrong bit. Verse 13. It is referring to the beast, but that was looking back to other kings, other emperors. But this one is the one I meant to quote. Verse 13. These are of one mind. They hand over their power and authority to the beast. And that's our problem. You see, we've handed over sovereignty, power and authority to the beast because, you know, any big government with regulatory power ends up being a beast, an animal that devours you. We need to get out before it eats us up and spits us out.
Yes.
Probably in front of that door that we were talking about.
Exactly. Well, look, this situation seems to be getting more and more childish as we gather pace, getting
especially with our contributions.
Deadline. Well, you know, the politicians are not really helping. And listeners, what do you think about this? I mean, do you think that we'll ever get to a situation where the door will open and people will have a slightly more harmonious way of negotiating and actually sit down and actually come together and finally get to a solution? Or maybe the door will be slammed shut rather hard in our faces. Well, why not log on to markandpete.com and let us know your thoughts. Fill out the contact form and let us know. And just in childlike form, I can't help but just end on this rather amusing knock-knock joke, which has amused us for many years. So, Clergyman Pete, knock-knock.
Who's there?
Europe.
Europe who?
No, you're a poo. Yes, it's become an absolute stinker. So... Listeners, you know our thoughts on what we should do. We need to get out. It's smelly. We don't like it. And it's time to leave. Well, it's time to leave the show. So thanks for joining us today. And join us again next time for more colourful conversations with Clergyman Pete and Businessman Mark.